All right, let's dive into this wild world of the Gaussian free field.
Oh yeah, the GFA.
GFF.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine trying to map a terrain, but it's all made of heat waves.
Right.
It's this crazy, fluctuating, shimmering landscape, kind of like a mathematical love child of Brownian motion.
Yeah, I mean, what's fascinating about the GFF is it, you find it everywhere.
It really is.
You see it in statistical physics and quantum field theory.
Right.
It even connects to this crazy thing called the Schramm-Lohner evolution.
Oh, we'll have to save that one for another deep dive.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely another deep dive.
But okay, so here's the real head scratcher.
Yeah.
From what I've read, it doesn't even exist as a function, like in the traditional sense.
Exactly.
So,
Exactly.
like, how do we even start to wrap our heads around this thing if we can't plot it on a graph?
So think of it more like a cloud of possibilities, almost like a bunch of potential landscapes all swirling around. Imagine like, a rubber sheet stretched over a frame, right? And, the energy it takes to create a particular shape on that sheet, that's kind of what we call the Dirichlet energy. And so the GFF, you can kind of think of it like that rubber sheet. But the probability of seeing any one particular shape, it all depends on the energy.
So shapes with lower energy, those are more likely to pop up in the GFF.
Exactly, yeah. It's like the GFF has preferences, right? It prefers certain types of landscapes.
Interesting.
Now, because the GFF isn't a typical function, mathematicians, they've got some pretty powerful tools to make sense of it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
One of the key concepts is understanding it as a random generalized function. But to really get a grasp on it, we need to simplify things a bit.
Okay, so this is where the discrete Gaussian free field comes in, right?
Yeah, the
The
DGFF.
GGFF, I remember reading about it.
Right.
It's like a snapshot of the GFF.
Exact
But
on a
yeah.
grid. Yeah. You got it. It's like you take that cloud of possibilities, right? And you're pinning it down to specific points. And here's where it gets really cool.
All right.
We can actually connect this DGFF to something much more familiar,
Okay.
like the random walk.
Really?
Yeah, imagine an ant
Okay.
wandering around on that grid, right?
All right.
The amount of time that ant spends at each point before it reaches the edge, that gives us insights into the DGFF.
Hold on. So the more time that ant spends at one point, the higher that point is on our GFF landscape.
It's not quite like that. It's more about the statistics of those visits. But you're thinking in the right direction.
All right, good.
The DGFF gives us a way to approximate the full GFF.
So it's like a stepping stone, a simplified version.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, starting with a blurry picture and adding more and more pixels until it becomes clear.
I see.
So the DGFF, it helps us, wrap our heads around this complex thing.
Right. I'm starting to see why mathematicians find this so fascinating.
Yeah.
So many connections to different ideas, like a mathematical puzzle.
Absolutely.
So what kind of connections are we talking about?
So, for example, in two dimensions, the GFF exhibits something called conformal invariance.
Conformal invariance.
Yeah.
I've heard that term before, but I don't fully get it.
So what that means is if you stretch or squeeze the GFF, right, in a way that preserves the angles. Like think about stretching a map, but you keep the angles the same. Its statistical properties remain unchanged.
Wow, so no matter how much we distort it,
Yeah.
as long as those angles stay put,
Exact.
it's statistically identical.
Yeah.
That's really wild. What's the significance of that?
Well, it makes the GFF really useful for studying things that are scale invariant.
Scale invariant,
Like
okay.
phase transitions.
Oh, okay.
So imagine like ice melting into water.
Yeah.
The GFF can help us understand the behavior of the boundary between the ice and water, no matter how closely we zoom in.
So like at a microscopic level and
Yeah.
at a huge level.
Yeah, it's the same, statistically speaking.
That is a deep connection.
Right.
Are there any other mind-blowing links to the GFF?
Yeah. Actually,
Any?
believe it or not, we can even connect the GFF to electrostatics.
Really? Electrostatics, how so?
So the potential energy of an electric charge distribution, it's analogous to the GFF's Dirichlet energy.
Oh, interesting.
It's almost like you're visualizing the GFF as this random distribution of charges.
We're going from random landscapes to electric fields.
Right.
This GFF is kind of a chameleon.
Yeah.
What
Yeah.
else? Is there more?
Yeah, there's even more. We can also link the GFF to something you're probably familiar with, Brownian motion.
Brownian motion,
Yeah, so imagine you're tracing a path through the GFF's random landscape. The ups and downs of that path, they can be described by a Brownian motion.
Oh, so we're like walking through this GFF terrain. It's like watching this tiny particle just jiggling around randomly.
Exactly, yeah. It's a pretty elegant connection between two, you know, seemingly unrelated concepts.
Absolutely, like the widow.
Perhaps the most visually stunning connection is to fractals.
Fractals, okay. Now you've got my attention.
All right.
Tell me more.
So imagine you're looking for points in the GFF where the average value within a certain radius is particularly high or low.
Okay.
We call these thick points.
Thick points.
Yeah. And the set of all these thick points, they actually form a fractal.
So we're zooming in on the GFF.
Yeah.
And we see these intricate self-similar patterns.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. It's incredible to think that we started with this random fluctuating surface.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it leads to fractals.
We've gone from shimmering landscapes to random walks to electric fields to Brownian motion and now fractals.
Yeah.
It seems like the GFF has its fingers in every pie.
It does. It really does.
All right. I am officially hooked.
That's great to hear.
We've only just scratched the surface here, haven't we?
Yeah, there's so much more to explore.
I can't wait. Okay, so we've seen how the GFF, it connects to all these things like random walks, electric fields, even fractals.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, though, that it also has these ties to something called the Schramm-Lohner evolution.
Oh, yeah, the SLE.
SLE.
Right.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It really is.
But it's this fascinating concept that describes how these certain random curves, how they grow.
Hmm.
And the amazing thing is these curves, they're deeply connected to the GFF.
Okay, so we have these random curves growing, they're evolving.
Right.
And the GFF is playing a role in all of this somehow.
You could say that the GFF acts like almost like a force field.
Yeah.
It's influencing how these curves are going to grow.
Hmm.
But the specifics, they get pretty complicated.
Yeah, sounds like.
Definitely a topic for another deep dive.
Noted.
Yeah.
So far we've been kind of exploring this GFF in this, you know, abstract mathematical realm. Right, right.
But does it actually show up in the real world?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
In fact, physicists are using the GFF to tackle some of the biggest mysteries in the universe, like how quantum fields behave,
right,
or even the structure of space-time itself.
The GFF is helping us understand, like, the cosmos?
It is, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, and closer to home.
Okay.
The GFF has applications in all sorts of fields, from modeling financial markets to understanding the growth of interfaces in material science.
Okay, so we're not just talking about theory here.
No, not at all.
The GFF has real-world implications.
Absolutely.
Could you give me, like, an example of that?
Sure. Let's take interface growth, for example.
Okay.
So, you know, imagine a liquid spreading across a surface or a crystal growing in a solution.
I can picture that.
The boundary between the two, the interface, it can be incredibly complex,
okay,
really irregular. And so we can actually use the GFF to model the fluctuations of those interfaces.
Oh, so.
So the random height function of the GFF, it represents the roughness of the boundary,
okay,
the irregularity of it.
I see. So it's like a mathematical blueprint for how those interfaces grow.
Precisely, yeah. So by studying the GFF, we can get these insights into the dynamics of interface growth, which has, you know, tons of applications in materials, science, in physics, even in biology.
You mentioned financial markets earlier.
Right.
How does the GFF apply to something like the stock market?
Well, it comes down to modeling volatility and risk, right? So the price of a stock, it can, you know, fluctuate randomly over time.
Right, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, much like those peaks and valleys in our GFF landscape.
So we're using the GFF to kind of capture that unpredictable nature of the market.
Exactly. So by using the GFF as a model, financial analysts can try to, you know, understand and predict those fluctuations.
Yeah.
Which helps them manage risk and make, you know, informed decisions.
So it's almost like having this mathematical compass to help navigate the chaos of the market.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
It's not a crystal ball, obviously.
Right, right.
But it gives us a really powerful framework for understanding and managing risk.
All these applications, they're so fascinating.
Yeah.
But I got to admit, I'm still struggling to picture the GFF.
Sure.
Is there any way to actually visualize it?
There are a few ways, yeah.
Right.
One approach is to think of the GFF as this random height function on a surface.
Okay.
So imagine a landscape, right?
Okay.
where the elevation at each point is determined by some random variable.
Okay.
That's a simplified way to picture the GFF.
So instead of like mountains and valleys, right, we have these random fluctuations in height.
Exactly. And with, you know, computer simulations, mm-hmm, we can generate these images of these random surfaces.
So we can actually see this cloud of possibilities.
We can, yeah. And those visualizations can be quite stunning.
Oh, wow.
You know, they reveal the fractal nature of the GFF.
Okay, but you mentioned earlier that the GFF doesn't, like, technically exist,
right,
as a traditional function.
Yeah.
So what are we actually seeing in those visualizations?
That's a great question. So the visualizations we see, they're actually approximations of the GFF, typically based on the discrete Gaussian free field.
The DGFF.
Yeah, remember the DGFF.
Yeah.
It's like pinning down the GFF to, you know, specific points on a grid.
Right, like taking a snapshot.
Exactly.
This one particular moment.
Yeah, and by making that grid finer and finer,
okay,
those approximations, they get closer and closer to the true GFF.
So it's kind of like zooming in on a fractal, right?
Exactly.
You see more and more detail.
Yeah, the closer you get.
This has been an incredible journey so far.
It has.
I mean, we've gone from these shimmering landscapes to random walks to electric fields to Brownian motion, now to fractals.
Right.
The GFF has connections to so many areas of math and science.
It really does.
It's like this hidden thread that's weaving together all these seemingly different fields.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But for someone who's not, you know, a mathematician or a physicist,
right,
why should they care about the GFF?
Well, I think it's about appreciating the beauty and the interconnectedness of knowledge.
Okay.
You know, the GFF shows us that even the most abstract mathematical ideas,
right,
they can have these deep connections to the world around us.
Mm.
Whether it's, you know, the growth of a crystal or the ups and downs of the stock market.
It's a powerful reminder that there's always more to learn.
Absolutely.
More connections to uncover.
Yeah, and those aha moments.
Yeah.
When we see those connections, you know, they can be pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, they really can. Those moments when you see how it all fits together.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, and sometimes those aha moments, they can even change the way we see the world.
You know, it's really amazing to think about something as abstract as the GFF.
Right.
And how it has these really tangible applications.
Yeah.
In things like physics and finance.
Absolutely.
It makes you really appreciate the power of mathematics to, you know, unlock these secrets of the universe.
Yeah.
And even our everyday lives.
It really does. And it shows you just how interconnected different areas of knowledge really are.
It does.
I mean, the GFF is a perfect example of how this seemingly obscure mathematical concept,
right,
can just illuminate all these diverse phenomena and reveal these surprising links between them.
You know, this deep dive has been a real eye-opener for
me. Oh, that's great to hear.
I came in knowing pretty much nothing about the GFF.
Right.
And now I'm just seeing its fingerprints everywhere.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder what other, you know, hidden connections are out there.
It does.
Just waiting to be discovered.
That's the beauty of it all, right?
It is.
That's the beauty of exploration and inquiry. You know, there's always something new to learn, some unexpected connection to uncover.
For sure.
The GFF is just one example of the endless possibilities that exist when we just delve deeper into the world around us.
So for our listener out there, someone who's maybe hearing about the GFF for the very first time,
right,
what would you say is like the key takeaway from our deep dive today?
I think it's, you know, don't underestimate the power of these abstract ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, concepts like the GFF, they might seem far removed from everyday life,
right,
but they can have these profound implications for how we understand and interact with the world.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's modeling the intricate growth of a snowflake.
Wow.
Or, you know, unraveling the mysteries of the cosmos.
Okay.
Or even just navigating the complexities of financial markets.
Mm.
The GFF shows us that there's often more to things than meets the eye.
It's like it's a reminder to stay curious.
Yeah.
To keep asking questions.
Sure.
And to really embrace those unexpected connections that we find along the way.
Absolutely. You know, who knows what other hidden wonders are out there just waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. The journey of discovery, it never really ends.
It doesn't.
And sometimes the most fascinating insights, they come from exploring those areas that initially seemed the most abstract or complex.
Right.
Well, this has been a fantastic deep dive.
Yeah, it has.
It's really expanded my appreciation for the elegance and the power of math.
For sure.
And for how interconnected our world really is.
It is.
To our listener out there, we encourage you to continue exploring.
Yeah.
Keep questioning and always be open to those aha moments.
Absolutely.
That can illuminate our understanding of the universe mm-hmm. and our place within it.
It's a wonderful journey.
It is.
Yeah.
Until next time, happy exploring.